about to hype myself up. And then I was like, because I was about to be like, who is August?
Oh,
but I was about to do it. Well, because I needed to hype myself up. I was about to do it before I pressed record, but then I was like, damn, you already pressed record. Well, greetings, strangers. I am a little sleepy, still cute, you know, peaceful, calm. We're here, Brit. We're here.
I'm Dee.
Welcome to another episode of
It's a Strange World After All.
The podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, occasional movie reviews, and all the things that keep the world strange. Let me defend myself. Give me, like, okay, guys, I'm in the process of a move. I'm going. Dee thought she got rid of me. She didn't. Like herps, or what's something else that keep coming back? like seasonal allergies. I'm coming back to you. So just give me. I'm off until next week. Give me until next week. I promise that February 1 will be out. It'll be out. It'll drop like a mixtape. You make me feel like a natural woman.
Oh.
You. It's National Women's History Month still. It's last week of National Women's History Month, actually.
Sadly.
Even though all year you should celebrate women and women's history.
Yes.
Before we get into today's episode, you've probably heard about this because I believe that even Joe Biden mentioned it in his, what you call that, State of the Union?
Mm-hmm.
On February 22nd, 2024, so this year, a young woman by the name of Lakin Riley, she was a 22-year-old American nursing student. She was going to the University of Georgia, right there in Athens.
Mm-hmm. She wasn't a student, though. I think she was a former student.
Oh, she was a former student. Yeah. She was going to Augusta University for nursing school. Okay. I apologize. She was abducted and later murdered, allegedly, because he has not been convicted just yet, allegedly by Jose Antonio Ibarra while she was jogging. She was jogging at the University of Georgia in Athens. So that's what it is. That's the connection to Athens. So, you know, that's tragic. The loss is tragic. And I just wanted to acknowledge that before getting into what's kind of been going on there. There's been a lot of fear mongering surrounding the fact that Jose is an illegal immigrant. And so, I mean, it's politics. Like, when it first happened, I was thinking in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, this is sad. This is tragic. I didn't know who was responsible for it at the time, so I didn't think anything of it. Then I found out that it was this illegal immigrant. And I was like, dang, Donald Trump is trying to get reelected. And I just feel like they're going to try to use this as an agenda to say, okay, well, this is why we shouldn't have illegal immigrants here.
Mm-hmm. And they also, the state of Georgia, very quickly passed a bill. So if a cop sees you and like suspects that you're illegal, they have the right to arrest you off of suspicion alone.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know about that.
No.
I don't know about that because of the fact that this is like, first of all, this is enabling like stereotypes. Because what makes you think that a person is illegal?
Exactly. What are you using as?
Yeah. What are you basing this off of?
When you're looking at someone, what are you basing this off of to say, oh, you look like you're an illegal immigrant? What?
Yeah.
Is it because I don't speak English very well? Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, make it make sense. Or is it just because I look like I'm of Spanish heritage, then that automatically means that I'm an illegal immigrant. Mm-hmm. It's harassment to me.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, it is. A lot of people here are here for it. They want this. And it's to the point where the Hispanic people here are literally like scared.
They're fearing for their lives.
Yeah.
Which was why when they were saying in Athens that the issue was because they wanted to make it to where they wouldn't be harassed if they're not committing, if they're not specifically committing crimes or doing anything to endanger the community, why would we try to harass them? They're just here. You're getting jobs. You're trying to take care of your family. There's not a scarcity issue. We have plenty of resources to go around. Also, let's talk about the fact. Because they were talking about calling ICE and getting ICE involved. And like the mayor did a press conference and was saying where he was verbally harassed and assaulted. Like they kept calling him a liar and saying like people that were identifying as Christian. And I was like, God is somewhere in heaven. Like, now, why am I in it? Don't use my name to try to spread your agenda. But he was basically saying, you know, if ICE comes and picks this man up, then he'll never be prosecuted. If he is guilty, he will never be prosecuted because if they take him back to his home country, he didn't commit that crime there. Mm-hmm. He's going to go off scot-free. That's number one. And number two, the fact that the people of Athens, Georgia, you know who you are holding protests for... Or I honestly don't know what the protests are for because they keep making a point to say, okay, first of all, listen to this, make Athens safe again. And I said, ain't that Massa? That's Massa.
It is. It is. Okay. It is.
Okay. So then they dropped the A. They changed it just to make Athens safe. Mm-hmm. But safe for whom? Number
Not us.
One. We know someone that works or like has connections to like the DA's office and can get data. And she had her office run a report and it was basically showing deaths based on ethnicity from like 1991 until now in Athens or until 2023 in Athens. And the rate of Black and brown deaths were like three times higher. For Black people alone, it was like 3 to 4 times higher than like white counterparts. So again, making it safe for whom?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned protests. What's frustrating for me is y'all, okay, there was an outrage because at first there were no protests. Like they were on Twitter. Why are Black people not organizing protests for this? First of all, if y'all want to protest, that's up to y'all. Why are y'all looking to us to organize something for y'all?
Yes.
Then they took, this woman took what we used for like Breonna, Black women, really, say her name.
Say her
She's
name,
She's putting
yeah.
it on shirts, hats, all this. For what? Like, okay. What happened to her? What happened to Lakin should not have happened at
no,
all.
No, it shouldn't.
But she is getting justice.
She is getting justice. And the reason why we wanted to bring this up is it's going to roll over to what we're about, like the main point of our episode, the main subject of our episode. But yes, she's getting justice. They found her body within 24 hours, number one. Like, and it goes back to we've mentioned it before, like right is right and wrong is wrong. But there just so happens in America to be this white woman syndrome. And it's like when a white woman is sexually assaulted or when a white woman is murdered, the world stops, which in any case where someone is murdered or, you know, in any case like this, the world should stop. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, let's bring this to justice. Let's figure out who did this. But when you're hosting protests, know what you're protesting for. That means that you don't even know what Black and brown people were out in the streets protesting for, in my mind. That means that you don't truly know what the message behind say her name is, because who's not saying Lakin's name? It's been everywhere.
Yeah.
The president addressed it. It's been everywhere.
Even though he did mispronounce it, but her name is Lakin Riley.
We know her name. There's not any hidden prejudices, biases. There's no systemic racism behind it. What happened was unfortunate. We pray that, you know, that her family receives the justice they deserve. But there's nothing more than a tragic instance. It's a one-off tragic instance. Now, if this continues to happen, if there's a cycle of, okay, these immigrants are now killing all of these white women or something like that, then let's say, okay, yeah, we need to protest this. There's something wrong. There's something mm-hmm. going on. But no, know what you're fighting for.
Exactly. And again, we're not saying that what happened to her isn't wrong. It's wrong. But it's just a huge difference when it happens to us is all yes. we're trying to say. Yeah.
Yes, what happened to her is wrong, but it is also wrong to be using what happened to her for a political agenda mm-hmm. to get somebody mm-hmm. that has already shown his hand back into the White House. That's wrong. Or to, yeah, try to push the agenda that, oh, all immigrants are unsafe, because then that makes it unsafe for those immigrants and their family. Or it also, like you said, it makes it unsafe for all of those people that look like him, whether or not they mm-hmm. were born here, whether or not they're legal or not, it's going to make it unsafe for them.
Yeah.
But that brings us into today's episode.
So in today's episode, we discuss the Delisa Kelly case. 24-year-old Delisa was found brutally beaten and strangled to death in a Dallas neighborhood just 1 week after her grandmother begged authorities to look into it. Before we start, I just want to say, this is one of the first ones that I did when we first talked about doing a podcast. Yeah. And ever since then, I have been like looking for updates and there have been none. Mm-hmm. And this happened in 2014. Her mom or grandmother came out recently. And again, there's no updates, but she basically said that if they would have taken them seriously, Delisa would have been found alive. She feels like, because she died 3 days after they reported her missing.
Oh.
The coroner determined like the time she died was 3 days after she was reported missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On March 7th, 2014, Delisa Kelly left her grandmother's home around 4 p.m. to attend a wake. A few hours later, at around 6:05 p.m., she accidentally called her sister, Jasmine. When Jasmine answered the phone, she heard Delisa screaming and said it sounded like someone was beating her. She says she also heard a male voice in the background saying, "Shut up."
When she hung up the phone, she texted Delisa and asked her if she was okay. Delisa responded saying that the man she was with was angry because he thought she was seeing another man. She said she would call her back in a minute, but she never did. The family believes that it wasn't Delisa who was texting them back. They think it was the man she was with. Jasmine immediately called their grandmother and she called 911. And the article that I found is from the beginning of February, February 2nd of this year.
Yeah.
And the headline is Delisa Kelly's family reflects on police investigation. And it's quoted as saying, this is coming from Lysandra Kelly. She says, "I really feel like if they were genuinely trying to help us, we possibly could have found my daughter alive, injured, but alive." And that was her quote from that article.
Or even because, I mean, she unfortunately was found. Well, yeah, she was unfortunately found murdered, but her killer has never been found. Or even at the very least, the family could have found some justice if they mm-hmm. just would have put forth the same amount of effort with every case. Take every yeah. case. No matter what they look like, no matter where they come from, put forth the same amount of effort is all we're asking.
Yeah.
That is why Black and brown people get in the streets and protest, because the same amount of effort is not being put forth. They just discard us. It makes us feel like you don't even give a fork about us, or those same people that are supposed to give a fork about us and protect and serve us are the ones killing us dead in the streets. That is mm-hmm. why we go out to protest. That is why we have to say that Black Lives Matter. That is why we have to say our name, say her name.
Exactly.
Okay, Jasmine called the grandmother. The grandmother calls 911. The dispatcher explained everything to Sergeant Kevin Mansell of the Dallas PD. Sergeant Mansell said he didn't think it would be unusual for Delisa to go missing. His exact words were, he from Dallas, well, sounds like she's been missing before. That's how she got in that situation. He even laughed at the situation. No one heard from Delisa over the next 48 hours, and she was declared a missing person.
So I was just going to say, I don't know how he came to that conclusion that it wouldn't be unusual for her to go missing, because there she doesn't have a history of doing that. Like, you can look into it. She doesn't have a history of just leaving.
I was about to ask you, did I miss something? Where did that even come from?
Yeah.
Because is it what she looked like? Is it because she's a black female? I don't know.
I think it was because she's black, but like she, like her mom, her sister, they were all like, because I believe she, did she have a kid? I believe she had a kid.
Yeah.
Because I know she was pregnant, but I think she did have at least one kid.
Mm-hmm.
But they were basically like, she would never leave her kid.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, where did he even get that from? Like, is he insinuating? What are you insinuating, sir?
Yeah, because I looked into it, and of course, there's not a lot of information on this. I would say I looked at a couple articles. I can't remember when the last post was, but there is a Facebook group dedicated to this case. And I, you know, looked on there, and there were a few articles, but it's not a lot. On the evening of her disappearance, surveillance cameras captured Delisa at a convenience store on the corner of Overton Road and Sunnyvale in Oak Cliff. The footage shows that she left the store at 6:13 p.m. and walked to the passenger side of a blue 1986 Mercury Grand Marquis and got inside. About 30 minutes later is when she accidentally called her sister Jasmine. So, even though this article is newer, I'm going to link it in the description, because they have the 911 call like that her grandmother made. And then they have footage from inside the store. You see Delisa, you see the man she was with, but they have his face blurred out. So I don't know why his face is blurred out, because I'm guessing he would be the prime suspect because he was the last person she was with.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his face is blurred out in there, so I don't know. But yeah, I'll link the article.
Okay.
So just in case people want to listen to the 911 calls. And it has a picture of the car, too, in that article.
Okay. Of the Grand Marquis? Mm-hmm. Mercury Grand Marquis. Okay.
Yeah.
Delisa's body was found a week later on the front porch of an abandoned home at 1215 Presidio Avenue in Oak Cliff. An autopsy revealed that she had been strangled and beaten to death. Delisa's mother, Lysandra Kelly, said that Delisa was all cut up. She was beaten badly. They had crushed her jaw and crushed her hand. She had gashes all over her face and all on her head. They had severely beaten her. Delisa was also 2 months pregnant. Dallas police interviewed the driver of the Grand Marquis, but they never publicly identified him or anyone else as a suspect. Her case remains cold. I'm wondering what it was that got him off.
I don't think he's not a suspect. They just never said it publicly. I think it's one of those things where they're keeping stuff from the public that only the killer would know. So it could be one of those things where they're looking at him, they just don't have enough evidence.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Because I guess them being seen together is not enough evidence.
Right.
Yeah. So would Delisa still be alive if her grandmother's 911 call had been taken seriously? It's hard to tell, but many people believe that she would be, and her mom came out and said that recently.
Mm-hmm.
It was reported that Delisa was seen days after she accidentally called her sister. And I think that was more of a rumor, like people thought they saw her. So
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Sergeant Kevin Mansell, the guy who was laughing in the 911 call, was reprimanded, but he wasn't fired. So I found one report that said he was suspended for 1 day. And then I found another report that said he was placed on administrative leave for 5 days. In 2017, three Dallas police officers were accused of misdemeanor conduct in the 2016 death of then 32-year-old Tony Tempa. I think that's how you say his last name. One of those officers was Sergeant Mansell.
August 10th, 2016, Tempa called 911 under the influence of cocaine. In the call, he said that he suffered from schizophrenia and depression, and he was off his medication. When Sergeant Mansell and the other two officers arrived on the scene, Tempa had already been handcuffed by a security guard. Everything was captured through body cam footage.
And that footage is out there. I saw like bits of it, but that was when I first did this, so I don't know. So I think you could just put his name and Kevin, is it Kevin Mansell? Sergeant Mansell? But yeah, they were just being, abusing their power. One officer, Dustin Dillard, rolled Tempa onto his chest and pinned him to the ground with his knee. Tempa begged him to stop and said, "You're gonna kill me." He pleaded for help over 30 times, and 11 minutes later, he was unconscious. The officers claimed that they thought he was asleep.
The officers, Mansell included, proceeded to make jokes about Tempa's state. One officer said, "It's time for school, wake up," while another officer said, "I don't want to go to school. 5 more minutes, mom." Tempa was rushed to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. So just, showing that they did not give, they couldn't have cared less about this man.
Yeah. And then what's so crazy was, I know we talk about race and all that, but I believe this was a white man.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know if it's because they looked, saw him as less than because he was on cocaine, maybe. I don't know.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
At the time, Tempa had a son and was engaged. His death drew backlash from the Dallas community. DPD argued that Tempa's cause of death was his cocaine use and not the actions of the officers. The officers were indicted by a grand jury for misconduct. Delisa's mother, Lysandra Kelly, and Tony's mother, Vicky Tempa, were present at the indictment.
In 2019, the Dallas County DA dismissed all of the charges. As of February 2021, Sergeant Kevin Mansell is still a DPD officer. In 2019, the Kelly Alert was signed into law by Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
Governor Hot Wheels.
Governor Don't Hot put that Wheels. In there. Nah, that's okay. I know what we're saying. We've already called him Governor Hot Wheels on another episode.
We did.
I'm pretty sure.
I think we did.
I'm pretty sure because it was during COVID when he was like, "Yeah, some people going to have to die. They just going to have to die."
Oh, you remember when Dallas had that weird winter like storm and everybody's power went out?
Yeah, that too.
That too, that was it.
I don't know. Uvalde,
It's so much.
This law, the Kelly Alert law, requires police officers to respond to scenes where there is a reported incident by a 911 caller.
And I just put, isn't that what they're supposed to do anyway? That is literally their job.
Yes, that's literally in the job description. That's why you get in so much trouble with false police reports, because you're wasting their time.
There was another case, and I wish, because I just thought about it, but Crime Watch Daily, they did an episode about it. This one, I believe, was in Oak Cliff as well. A lady, she was in the process of being killed by her boyfriend, and she accidentally calls, it's just kind of just like this. She accidentally called somebody, and I think it was her mom. Her mom called the police, and the cops stopped at like 7-Eleven to go buy soda or something before they went to her house. And I was like, what? And so, like, they found her in her house. Like, I think, and no, her family found her because they got there before the police. And he had put her body in the tub and was like running the water, and her whole house was like flooded. And I'm like, what in the world? Dallas, come on now.
That's crazy.
I don't know why I can't remember. Because I think I was just watching that episode. I think that one kind of like got to me a little bit because I could barely finish it. Because like were showing like her mom, like they played the recording. Because I think it was something like she accidentally left a voicemail or something like that. They played that. And so you could hear what he was doing to her. And then they played footage from the courtroom where her mom was testifying and how she broke down and was crying. It was crazy. And I think his name was Del Vecchio. That's the only thing I remember because of his name, because it's weird. But yeah. Delisa's family continues their search for her killer. So thoughts. I think it was, I'm going to say allegedly, because I don't even know the guy's name, but I think it was the guy that was in the surveillance video, the guy she was with.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Probably it would make sense.
Yeah. One of the articles that I linked, it's a literal timeline of her events. And that was the last time she was seen, was with him, like getting into the car.
Who is he to her?
I'm guessing they were together.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm thinking of the text message, but then the family says they don't even think that was her texting them back.
Right.
Because allegedly she said he's mad because I was talking to another guy or something. So maybe it's a guy that she had just met that she was dating. I don't know. Because when I was looking into this, that area, like over there by Overton and all that, like a lot of people don't even want to go over there. And then the fact that her body was found, I'm guessing it was a trap house because it was like in front of an abandoned house.
Yeah.
I'm not talking bad about Oak Cliff. I love Oak Cliff, but just that area in particular, like I haven't really heard a lot of good things about the Overton.
I was gonna say
over there. Yeah. Do you think this could be a case of people know, not the family, but people know who did it and they're just scared
to say something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that because I was thinking I would be curious to know who the person was that she was riding with. What does he have any connections like to, like you said, if that was a trap house that she was dropped off at? Let me say this. And I say this like just trying to get to the bottom of it. Was there a history of her doing any drugs? Was this person a drug dealer? You know, like for survival, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So I'm like, okay, there has to be something that's like right in their face.
That's what I'm thinking. And I'm wondering if that's why they blurred out his face in that surveillance footage, because maybe he is like a big time drug dealer and they don't want it out yet. But then that was 2014.
Maybe. Or maybe once they had declared that even if he is a suspect, he's not on, you know, like he's not on trial, he's not in trouble for anything. So they had to blur his face out. I don't know how that works. I don't know. I don't know. It feels like for me, there's not enough information, but I feel like it's their fault while there's not enough information, because they should have followed up on it as soon as they got the call.
True. I hate to keep mentioning, I mean, we're from Dallas. We know. We know. We're familiar with Oak Cliff. Me probably more. But
this? I lived in Oak Cliff for a couple of months. You better stop. That's my hood.
But even, okay, Overton. And then you got Sunnyvale, too. Back then, That is what it was pretty. Yeah. Even before that.
Oh, okay.
Because that's like, that was like the parts of Oak Cliff that you avoid.
Yeah.
Basically. So I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So yeah, there's something. And I'm sorry, earlier I said right in front of their face, but obviously it's not right in front of their face. But mm-hmm. there's a piece of the puzzle that's missing. And like you said, whether that's the community being protective, because they might feel like y'all are no help to us ever anyway, so why are we giving you information? Or
that's what I was gonna say, my bad.
Maybe they're afraid of, no, it's okay, maybe they're afraid of the dude that was driving that car.
Yeah, I was gonna say, with it being that area, that's why the police didn't take it too serious. Yeah,
but if anything, because it's that area, the fudge. You see,
that's the thing, because they're like, this stuff happens every day. Like, they probably didn't even think too much of it because of that area, which is wrong.
That's wrong. Yeah. That's the thing. I remember, I believe it was my mom, because she also lives there in Georgia in the Athens area. She was saying how this woman, because there are some areas there, I don't know them by name, I apologize, that are a lot like in Dallas, like Oak Cliff, Pleasant Grove, Overton, like this area. And the lady was saying, I don't care who it is doing the killing. I don't care if it's black on white, white on black, black on black. The issue is that our streets are not safe right now. There is something happening in our communities. You guys don't give a crap about us. You're not coming in. You're not fixing the issue. So again, it boils down to, what about us? What about our lives? Do our lives not matter when one of us goes exactly. missing? Does that not matter? I don't care if she was on drugs, taking it back to like Anthony Sowell. I don't care if she was on drugs. I don't care if she was a prostitute. I don't care. Her life has value. Her life matters. You need to take these calls seriously and figure out what is going on. If you need to, you already over police as it is, but you're over policing for the law, for the, I can't even talk. I'm so upset. I can't even talk. You're over policing for the wrong reasons. You're not over policing to make us safe. So you need to look at that. You need to look at that and reevaluate some stuff.
And then like, I don't even want it to come off as like us, because I think that's, I don't even want to bring it back around to that, because the one bad review we got, I think it's the because dumb of review. The fact, yes. I think it's because of the fact that we criticize the police a lot.
I don't care.
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't care. But
DPD, again, we know, we're from there, has always been iffy.
Yeah.
Even going back to the episode we did about Santos, what's his name? Santos Rodriguez?
Oh, I think so.
Even going back to that whole case was messed up, and it was another person of color, and this was a child. Literally, you have a cop playing Russian roulette with a child.
Yes, yeah. Okay, I do remember that now.
Yeah.
And then was lying the whole time. He lied about literally every detail.
So DPD doesn't have the best history no matter what.
No. People get mad if you're not getting good customer service at a Taco Bell drive-thru. Like, let's think about that. You see what I'm saying? You thinking of that video. Is that why
yes,
you laugh?
Because that was Dallas, too.
So you see what I'm saying? You getting mad at the Popeye's yes. drive-thru because you're not getting the customer service you deserve, or a call center when you call in. Think about how people feel towards the cops. That's all we're saying. You have a job to do. You take an oath. Do your mm-hmm. job, because lives are at stake.
Yeah. It may be the hippie in me, but why can't we all just get along?
Can we all just get along?
Because even though the situation is messed up, Delisa Kelly and Tony Tempa, their moms had to come together. This is a black woman and a white woman. They came mm-hmm. together, and it's still messed up that nothing happened, but that's just all come together and
right
yeah I just
we all fundamentally want the same.
It's just things. Frustrating. Yeah,
it is frustrating.
There's this one cop, I cannot remember his name. I used to follow him on Instagram. So it was a white cop. He was going to like black neighborhoods, and he would go out there and like play basketball with the kids and buy the kids lunch and do all kind of stuff. And then like his job was kind of like tripping about it. And he was like hurt. And he was like, y'all, I can't really, you know, do as much as I used to do or I'll get suspended. And I'm like, well, I wish I could remember his name. But he still makes videos and stuff, though. Like, he's still going out to community. Because, like, he will buy the kids shoes and clothes.
See?
And I'm like, there are good officers. And he's married to a black woman.
Come on.
I cannot remember his name.
I think that's honestly, hear me out. I think that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I think once you join an academy, you know, graduate that academy, you know. Number one, I think you should have to live in that city. Now, if it's like an impoverished city, maybe not, but even still, you know how you have like pockets of poverty within pockets of like wealthy neighborhoods?
Yeah.
So you could even live in the wealthy
like East
side
Dallas.
Of that. Yes. Yeah. No, yeah. Even though they're gentrifying there, if anything, that's just gentrification central. They're pushing out those pockets of poverty.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been there in a minute, so.
But I think it should be like, you have to live in the city that you serve. You have to like be like a face of your community. You have to know what is going on. They need to see you serving lunch. They need to see you giving backpacks to the kids. We need to know that you care about us. That way, when it comes down to something like this, they're not afraid to say, okay, I have a tip. You might even get people saying, okay, I'm telling you this because I trust you. This is what I saw. This is what I think happened. Because I trust you.
That's all we ask. I just hope she gets justice.
Yes, agreed. She and her family and that community deserves it. That is all, folks.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, X at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please, please, please write a positive review.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. What did you think of this week's episode? What do you think about the Delisa Kelly case? What do you think? If you want to share your thoughts on what's going on in Athens, Georgia currently with Lake and Riley, that case, let us know. If you have any personal stories involving true crime or the supernatural, we would love to have you on the show and share them with our listeners. If you have any movie or documentary suggestions of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre that you would like us to review, email your submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platform mentioned. Even if you just want to say what it do, what it is, we will be here. We'll be here. Actually, yeah, we'll be here. We'll be here.
What was you about to say?
I don't know. I was about to say, well, technically, I ain't gonna be in Dallas no more, but ooh, y'all, next week I ain't gonna be in Dallas. By the time this episode comes out, I'm gonna be a Georgian.
A Georgian? Wait, is it Georgian or Georgian? Now you got me confused.
I like Georgian though, so I'm gonna say Georgian. Wasn't that her name on Mean Girls, Georgia? No, Regina George.
Regina George. Thank you for tuning into another episode of It's a Strange World After All.